And welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we celebrate a very big day in the history of the United States of America. And at this point, many of you have heard that Justice Anthony Kennedy has announced his retirement from the Supreme Court of the United States. What a big day for America. I just completed a 1,000-page, 500-year history textbook for 10th to 12th grade high school students. And as I consider the importance of this day, I don't think it compares very much with any other day in the history of this country, except perhaps the election of Ronald Reagan to the presidency of the United States in 1980. So this is the biggest opportunity for the pro-family conservative forces in at least 40 years, the biggest opportunity in this generation. So it could be that the Lord God is having mercy upon the nation. And so to analyze what is happening now with the Supreme Court's shift and the opportunity for the president of the United States, the Republican president, Donald Trump, to make the appointment, we have asked Jenna Ellis, the constitutional attorney and director of public policy for James Dobson's Family Institute, to join us now on the Generations Broadcast to discuss this momentous occasion in the history of this country. So Jenna Ellis now joins us. Jenna, welcome. It's good to have you with us back on the Generations program.
Thanks so much for having me, Kevin. I appreciate it.
What a day. What a momentous occasion. You agree this is significant in the history of the country?
Oh, absolutely. I think that this is the most significant day because of the context. I mean, if we were in a position where Hillary Clinton were the president, and thank the Lord that that enough people came out and voted for President Trump, this would be a very significant day for the exact opposite reason. And so this is a very, very significant win. It is a, as you said, momentous occasion because the courts now will have the opportunity to have a majority of actual originalists and people who are on the court that will not pick winners and losers based on policy interests, but rather faithfully adhere to their oath of office, which, to use a baseball analogy, is like an umpire where they're fairly calling balls and strikes, but not based on a preference for the outcome of the actual game. And that's what we need in a Fifth Justice.
And we have seen an activist court at the Supreme Court level since the Warren Court of the 1950s and 60s, would you say?
I would, yeah. And I mean, we've had a few, obviously, Justice Anton Scalia. We've had Gorsuch now for the past year, which has been great. We've had some conservatives on the bench, but we have seen that level of activism since the 1960s. And so this is probably the first time in the past 50 or 60 years that America will make, hopefully, a very strong shift back to the original intent of the Constitution.
Jenna, Anthony Kennedy, he was appointed by Ronald Reagan, a bit of a disappointment over the last 30, 40 years. I think Casey versus Planned Parenthood, I'm thinking of Obergefell. He was the swing vote, and he typically went the wrong way on family issues. Do you agree?
I would say yes. He had a very interesting dichotomy in his legal perspective where he drew a sharp line between still upholding principles of individual freedom, but that to him, as his case law showed us, was that he also had a very strong stance for social issues, and in a way that actually was not constitutionally accurate. And so that's how we got to some of these decisions. And so I would agree with that, that he had a very strong record, unfortunately, for supporting policies and politics of social issues over the actual power of the government that is in the Constitution. And rather than following the rule book, he catered a little bit to the whim of whatever the dominant society cultural ethic has been over the past 60 years since the rise of the sexual revolution. And unfortunately, he played into that more, I think, than, of course, anyone expected him to when he was first appointed.
You made the point in the Washington Examiner article that you wrote this morning on the Kennedy retirement that it seemed that Kennedy was actually swinging a bit right in the last several decisions, probably because he expected his retirement and maybe a little less given to the whim of public opinion, the media.
Yeah, and I think that this also signals perhaps an influence of Justice Gorsuch, because Justice Gorsuch used to be a clerk for him. They had a pre-existing relationship when Justice Gorsuch took the bench, which I don't know this. It's just, you know, my speculation kind of watching on the outside, that could have been a motivation for his nomination by President Trump, was that type of influence. And I think looking at his jurisprudence over this past year that Gorsuch has been on the bench, we've seen that, and we've seen kind of a return to some fundamental constitutional principles. And one of the things that I really want to highlight is that this isn't a matter of Christian evangelical conservatives saying, oh, yay, now we have members of our court for our agenda. This is something our agenda as conservatives needs to not be an agenda at all, but rather a faithful adherence to our, meaning every single American, constitution. And that's what we've seen in the recent Supreme Court decisions, especially this week and even this whole month, when we're looking at the Masterpiece Cake Shop opinion, even then, which Kennedy wrote the majority opinion there.
Right. So it looks like religious freedoms are being protected, and God's people will have a bit of a respite from some of the problems we've seen with bakers, photographers, and florists over the last, I'm going to say, 10 years or so.
I'm very hopeful for that, and especially the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision, particularly in light of what happened with Arlene Flowers, which, of course, is a florist from Washington who had a very similar case to Masterpiece with the Supreme Court this week, kicking that back, remanding that back to the state of Washington to say, try this again in light of the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision. And so a lot of people were very concerned that that narrow ruling, even though the vote was 7-2, the vote wasn't narrow, but the rationale, the court's opinion, was very narrowly drawn to the facts of that particular case. When they're now saying, Washington State, look at Arlene Flowers, again, in light of Masterpiece, that is a very strong signal that this isn't just the facts of Jack Phillips' case, the baker in Colorado. This is about anyone who has a religious objection in their professional capacity. And that the government cannot compel them to use their artistic skills and talents to participate in an event which they fundamentally disagree. So I think that was a really encouraging signal from the court. Mm-hmm. The other compelled speech cases, which included the National Institute for Life and Family Advocates this week, and even today with the Janus decision, that how the Supreme Court is saying the government cannot compel a union worker to pay dues and essentially participate in speech that they disagree with. Those are all very, very strong opinions from the court, and Justice Kennedy was that fifth swing vote. So it's been really nice, actually, to see the wins here, not for just, the one side's agenda, but really for conservatism conserving our constitutional rule of law. That is what won this week, and I think we'll be winning again with a new nominee that will replace Kennedy.
Seems to be a sharp division developing between the Supreme Court of the United States and some of the state Supreme Courts, such as Washington Supreme Court or Oregon Supreme Court, that upheld the Klein decision that slapped the Kleins, the Christian family that had the bakery in Eugene, Oregon, with $135,000 of a fine. You know, the Supreme Court of the United States seemed to be saying, no, we're going to allow liberty, whereas some of these more left-leaning state courts are doing just the opposite.
Yeah, and this is why, it's a good thing to have a Supreme Court that is willing to fairly call those balls and strikes rather than be activists like we see in the states. And so that is really encouraging, but that's why we have to make sure that we protect conservatism from our highest court so that if we do get activist courts anywhere else on those lower courts, that at least we have the court of last resort that is not political or partisan.
Let's analyze the court right now briefly. Ginsburg, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan, a pro-abortion, more activist-oriented. Justices Alito and Thomas, more pro-family, pro-life, and less activist, more original constitutionalists, I guess. And what about Neil Gorsuch and John Roberts? What about those two?
Yeah, I think that especially given Roberts' very strong dissent in the same-sex marriage opinion in Obergefell, with talking about how you know, this was not a win for the rule of law and the Constitution. I think that's a very strong signal that he would be a vote to overturn Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey and that progeny. And Gorsuch, with all of his jurisprudence, he has not been politically partisan. And even though he is a believer and he is someone who has a personal faith, I think regardless of what his personal opinion would be on pro-life, just from his understanding of his role as a Supreme Court justice, he would definitely be a vote to overturn Roe versus Wade, because this isn't a federal question. This is not something that our Constitution gives the federal government the ability to create a rule of law around. And what's important, I think, for Christians to understand about Roe versus Wade is that there was not a right to abortion that was found in that case. The right to privacy in accessing medical intervention was what was found in that case. And there has always been a conflict between that right to privacy and how far it extends and what it covers versus a right of the state to have a vested interest in protecting unborn children as people. And that has always been the contention. And so this is where I think we have a great opportunity with the Kennedy replacement to say the right of privacy does not extend that far. I mean, the right of privacy, for example, never extends to spousal abuse, child abuse, things that happen in the context of the privacy of the home. We still can criminalize, or the government can still restrict certain activities inside the purview of privacy. And so that's really the best constitutional argument that I think that someone like Justice Gorsuch would absolutely fall very constitutionally oriented in.
Well, Jenna, what do you think we're going to get from the president? So what sort of appointment do you think Trump will provide us here as he nominates the next Supreme Court justice?
Well, he did speak today about appointing or nominating, rather, someone from his original list of 25. So I think that those, while they've been vetted very heavily through the Federal Society, Heritage Foundation, others, those are really good picks. And I think this is his opportunity to show that, you know, Gorsuch was not just a fluke, for example. This was not somebody that he just happened to nominate that's a wonderful jurist. This is his opportunity to create essentially a second Gorsuch. And I strongly believe that that is his intent, that he will nominate someone that is a very strong originalist, who's a constitutional conservative. And I'm very excited to see what will happen in the coming days. And the fact that Mitch McConnell has said we will confirm someone before midterms is also very significant, because we certainly would not want that to impact the ability to actually confirm a conservative justice.
I'm guessing the opposition is going to call out their massive forces, you know, every gun from their arsenal on this one. Do you think it's going to be difficult for the president to get a candidate past Rob Portman or Murkowski from Alaska, or I think of Collins from Maine, in the Senate?
Well, you know, Collins, for example, voted yes on Gorsuch. You know, it's a very narrow margin, but we've now established the nuclear option, and so we only need to get to 51 in the Senate. And I think that's a good thing that we have used that option now. And you know, whether or not the Democrats will try to change that back remains to be seen. I do think it will be a very, very hard-fought battle, and so it'll be up to Mitch McConnell and others to get to that 51. But I think that not only is that possible, it's also probable. I think that most people are saying, especially in light of the dissent this past week, I mean, if you look at even just the so-called travel ban case in Trump versus Hawaii that was also handed down yesterday. I mean, you know, Justice Sotomayor's dissent just reads like an emotional appeal that she's upset with the policy. And that should show very clearly to these senators, this is an activist court, and you don't want that kind of unpredictability in the law. We want to make sure that we have a solid court moving forward for the next generation. And I think there's a great argument to be made there, and that President Trump, as well as Mitch McConnell and the rest of the conservative cadre in the Senate, are going to make that happen. I'm very hopeful.
You know, I think about how much persecution pushback Christians are feeling in the UK and Scotland. In Ireland, the pro-life issue has lost most recently in Ireland, I believe Argentina, and a few other nations around the world. Of course, the pro-homosexual movement has made considerable progress everywhere. Canada turned down the only pro-family, pro-Christian law school a couple of weeks ago by a ruling from their Supreme Court. It seems to me that right now the battleground is the United States of America. If we're looking at regaining any ground whatsoever in some of these very, very key battles. And so the next couple of weeks, the next couple of months may be the most significant in the entire Western world. And I think the way you titled your opinion piece on Washington Examiner this morning is key. Justice Anthony Kennedy's retirement is an answer to prayer for evangelicals. Ultimately, I think we're going to have to pray and really engage that God would have mercy on us and help us through this battle. We're not there yet, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a huge, wonderful day, and I think that we can take a few moments to truly bask in that and give a prayer of thanks to God for not only the opinions that have been handed down this month, but the fact that Trump actually has this opportunity. And then starting, you know, today and even tomorrow, just to be praying for wisdom for our president, for our Senate, and to make sure that that happens. And, you know, I had a conversation with Dr. Dobson today about how we need to be in prayer for this and the thanksgiving to God for what is happening today. But as he so wisely said, we need to move forward as well with prayer and that God would grant favor for an originalist jurist to be confirmed so that we can really make America constitutional again. That's really, I think, the answer.
That would be a beautiful, beautiful thing in the history of this country. And certainly God is in the heavens, and the heart of the king is in his hands, and he turns it whithersoever he wills. So let's be in prayer, as Jenna has encouraged us to be today. Jenna Ellis is constitutional attorney and director of public policy for James Dobson's Family Institute, and we so appreciate her expertise today as we analyze what is going on with the Supreme Court and the future nomination from our president. Thank you so much, Jenna. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin.
And that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast, friends. A moment that will continue to live into the pages of history in the years to come. As we wrap up this edition of the program, friends, I'd encourage you to give your children context for everything that's going on in current events, especially in the United States of America, if you are part of this country. And that's one reason why we have completed a 1,000-page, 500-year history of the United States of America up to the present day. And I would encourage you to grab a copy of In God's Providence, The History of the United States, available now at our website, generations.org. We have just completed this tremendous project. Ultimately, this project has been in the works for about 20 years and is finally completed just this week. And so you can order a copy of it. It will be shipped to you in August, but order a copy of your providential history, a Christian worldview history of the United States of America called In God's Providence America, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Again, that new 1,000-page high school level history of the United States is available now at generations.org. So get a copy for your family today at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.